Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, to give you the official statement from Buckingham Palace, it says it was with deep sorrow that Her Majesty the Queen has announced the death of her beloved husband, His Royal Highness the Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. His Royal Highness passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle. Sinead Ryan from News Talk joins me on the line now. Sinead, a sad day for the royal family. Hello, Sinead. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, I can.
There you are. Sorry, we lost Hello. You there a little. So this
no
is fairly big news. I mean, he was a man at the end of his life. So there's not a tragedy in it, but there is a sadness.
There is indeed. And what a life. I mean, 99, he was due to celebrate his 100th birthday in June. And there were all kinds of celebrations, COVID related, notwithstanding. Coming up to that event. So it is an enormous shame. And actually, it'll be personally very, very sad for the Queen. I did read the statement. It said her beloved husband. And very often these announcements tend to come from palace officials. You know, they're in the third person. And this one was deeply personal.
Yeah, I did think that myself. And the Queen has a lot going on at the moment, doesn't she? Not only with whatever is happening in the country and in the world, but with everything that has been going on with Harry and Meghan, you know, to face a big family death is just another thing to take on.
Indeed. And Prince Philip had been in hospital of late. He had spent several weeks in hospital, actually, for a pre-existing heart condition and an infection that he seems to have picked up. So I think to look maybe on the positive side of it, he was home. He was in Windsor Castle. The Queen was there. And in fact, lockdown has meant for them that they've actually spent more time together this year than I'd say at any time in the last 30 years. So really, I suppose they will have had that time together, and that'll be a great comfort to her. He lives on an outlying building, a kind of a cottage on the Windsor estate. You know, maybe they'll have had more time just to kind of for him to recoup and for her maybe to have this end of life stage. And I think they'll all be very grateful it didn't happen in hospital.
So he was 99. So, as I say, you know, a great age and what a life. And I've got most of my information about Prince Philip from The Crown on Netflix. And it appears he was quite the character.
He certainly was. He began life on a kitchen table in Greece, where he was born into a rather impoverished royal family over there. And of course, most notably, he did go to school in England. And of course, he spoke with a very British accent, but he was Greek. And he was notably a nephew of Earl Mountbatten. And really, he took Philip under his wing and really was responsible for him being introduced to the Queen. She was only 14 when they first met. And they got engaged on her 21st birthday and got married when she was 21. So a very long marriage, a very happy life. I mean, he was a perfect consort. A lot is made when we talk about Prince Philip, a lot is made of the gaffes and kind of his motor mouth and things he says at the wrong time. But actually, throughout it all, he has been a solid consort at a time when men didn't take a step back and didn't walk behind their spouses. And he did that for a very, very long number of decades.
And of course, the Queen became the Queen a lot earlier in her life than she would ever have expected. And she wasn't born necessarily into that lineage. It was supposed to be her uncle. Then her father had to step up and take the throne. And then when he died unexpectedly, their young marriage was thrown into a whole new spotlight and a way of life.
Indeed. And she was only 25 when she became Queen, which is an extraordinarily young age. In 1956, they were in South Africa, actually, on a tour, an official tour, because her father, King George, had been too unwell to take the tour. And Prince Philip and the Queen went over, did that hugely successfully, and found out over there that, in fact, he had died very suddenly, as it turned out in the end. And she had to come home and assume the monarchy. Now, prior to that, they had just had 4 years of marriage. two children, Prince Charles and Princess Anne. They had lived some of that time in Malta because, of course, Philip was a serving naval officer. And the Queen has said that that was the happiest time in her life because she was just a regular Navy wife and suddenly had to assume this role and move into Buckingham Palace and all of the things that go along with that and the responsibility. She is now on her 14th Prime Minister, and Philip has been by her side throughout all of that. So I think she will hugely miss him. It'll be a huge blow. Remember, she's lost her mother. She's lost her sister. She's been through the divorce of three of her children. A turbulent life. And Philip really was her stay, as she called him, her stay and her rock throughout that.
Do we know what will happen? I mean, will he sort of have the trappings of a state funeral of sorts? Will COVID restrictions halt that?
It's a funny one, actually. I mean, technically not. He was a consort rather than the monarch. He was also famously fuss-free. He hated all the palaver around, you know, he didn't like fuss on his birthday or anything else, although he was perfectly happy to turn up at all the state events, dressed appropriately and all that. So I would think he will have left wishes for a fuss-free ending. And I imagine COVID would suit that down to the ground. You know, it's not going to be possible to have a mass event maybe in Westminster Abbey or St Paul's Cathedral or wherever it would have been held, possibly St George's Chapel, which is in Windsor, and that might work perfectly for a small family funeral. But we'll remain to be seen. They'll have made contingency plans for this certainly for the last number of years, and they will follow through on those now.
Do you think history will look back kindly on Prince Philip? I mean, they certainly show him in The Crown to be sort of the glue that holds the family together and kind of somebody that brought warring factions together, certainly with the Diana and Charles story, that he was almost like a similar outsider that had married in, so understood anybody else that felt that way and would try and help them.
Yes, for all his truculence and kind of brusque exterior, he was the mediator, I suppose, in the family. It was he who, with, you know, assumed the household once the Queen acceded to the throne. So it was he who sorted out the schools, the family, who would do what and all that kind of thing, and was kind of very close to Diana, for one. She looked up to him a great deal, and he was a mediator as far as he could be in that rocky marriage. And it has been said that more lately between William and Harry, when that relationship began to feel under strain, it was Philip who kind of stepped in and said, now, not, you know, pull yourselves together, lads. You know, now, unfortunately, it'll be interesting actually to see, will Harry come home for that funeral? We know that Meghan is heavily pregnant at the moment. He was due to come home in July anyway, for the Trooping of the Colour, Diana's memorial, she would have been 60 this year, and Prince Philip's 100th birthday, and they were all taking place within the same couple of weeks. So will he move that forward? I think he'll have no option but to come home, and I think it would be very fitting if he did, because Philip was a much beloved grandfather and indeed great-grandfather.
Well, Sinead, there's some people who don't give a fig about the royal family, but I can see I have a kindred spirit. I've got pulled in by the Crown, so we'll have to pull up a pew somewhere, socially distanced in News Talk, of course, because I can hear you've got all the information. Thank you so much for talking to me here on Lunchtime Live today. Sinead Ryan there from News Talk. And yeah, you do think it's going to be a blow to the Queen, who just shows no sign of slowing down, and she has been knocked recently by family developments and now the death of her husband. Here she is speaking at their golden wedding anniversary, paying tribute to her husband.
He has quite simply been my strength and stay all these years, and I and his whole family owe him a debt greater than he would ever claim.
We are interrupting our normal programmes to bring you an important announcement. You're watching BBC News from London. A short while ago, Buckingham Palace announced the death of His Royal Highness Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. In a statement, the palace said, "It is with deep sorrow that Her Majesty the Queen announces the death of her beloved husband, His Royal Highness, the Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. His Royal Highness passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle."
And I don't know if he's going to be upset with us because we played a BBC clip, but now we're talking to Sky News correspondent Enda Brady. Hello, Enda. How are you?
Hi, Claire. Good to speak to you.
And you're not going to be upset because, in fairness, this is news across all news broadcasters and probably globally at this point. What's the reaction been like since the announcement of Prince Philip's death?
I think genuine sadness over here because he was extremely respected, very, very popular. He was someone who spoke from the hip. He didn't tolerate fuss or fussiness. And I think across the country here, you know, that news breaking in the past hour, I think there will be genuine sorrow for Philip and for Her Majesty. Still, you know, an extremely respected lady. And I think right across the nation now, people will be mourning a wonderful life. What an extraordinary life. 99 years, he achieved so much. And I think how he will be remembered is just a lifetime of service and resilience and being, you know, just one foot behind Her Majesty the whole time, always having her back.
The eyes seem to be very much on the British monarchy at the moment, not only due to the popularity in the series Netflix's The Crown, but also the real life soap opera that has been going on between the Queen and Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. So I suppose in a way it kind of just returns it back to the fact that as well as being a monarchy, they are a family who have lost a father, a husband, a grandfather.
Yeah, and I think inevitably over the weekend all eyes will be on Harry and Meghan to see if they are making plans to come back for the funeral. The funeral is probably 10 to 14 days away. But right now, just profound shock and sadness. I was at Windsor Castle the day he got out of hospital. I didn't see him leave hospital. I was at Windsor Castle after he got back. And the pictures, he looked extremely frail, very, very frail. And the hope was that Philip would rally and do what he's always done and keep going and get to that 100th birthday in the summer. Not going to happen now, but you're right. You know, it's inevitably always focus on the British royal family. The whole world looks in at what they do. And I think right now the Queen will be in private at Windsor Castle mourning the loss of a man who has been beside her the whole way through. I mean, they met when she was a 13-year-old girl. That was how young she was when they first met.
And do we know any details of the illness, or at 99, it's just obviously natural causes?
There's been no detail given whatsoever. I'm sure it will come out eventually, but royal statements are famously brief and they don't focus ever on health matters. We know he had a heart procedure the other week at that hospital in London, St. Barts. He had been at King Edward VII. He moved to Barts for the operation. Then he went back to recuperate at Edward VII. And he spent 28 nights, an entire month, in hospital. It's the longest hospital stay of his whole life. So, yeah, I mean, we will eventually find out what has happened. But a 99-year-old man, you know, he will obviously have had health worries. He was extremely frail anyway. And it just must be absolutely heartbreaking for the Queen to have to deal with this, because he has been by her side for, 7-8 decades.
Wow. It is really incredible. And what they say in the statement is that he passed peacefully. We don't have any details of whether his family were around him, or do we know of other family members gathering at Windsor Castle?
No, it's been very difficult in COVID. So they moved out of Buckingham Palace, the Queen and Philip, March of last year. They moved into Windsor Castle. The feeling was that the virus was just getting too dominant in London and it would be too difficult to keep two 90-year-olds safe from COVID in a capital city regardless. So they took the decision to move out. They went to Windsor Castle and they went into what was known as HMS Bubble. Really, really strict COVID protocols, testing, and nobody was going into the castle anywhere near the royals without having negative tests and 14 days of quarantine. So, you know, they took ultimate precautions. They really, really did. But ultimately, Philip was a 99-year-old man and things go wrong.
He was, some may describe it, a secondary member of the royal family, not necessarily front-facing. And yet, he was such a central character within the family and well-loved by the public. So have you been gathering any sort of reaction from the public in your work?
So I'm in Dorset today. I was on an assignment and just speaking to people. It's a very, very rural county. You know, it's a bit like Wexford or Carlow, very, very rural. Just speaking to people here, shock and sadness, and people I've spoken to so far just saying, you know, oh, I wonder how the Queen's doing. It's just the respect for the Queen above all, you know, rings through here. And I think people across the country will just be thinking of her. It is a desperately sad day, but mark my words, the newspapers over the weekends will be full of wonderful and very funny stories at times about Prince Philip, because he was a character. I mean, he was a no-nonsense man, marrying into possibly the stuffiest family in the world with protocols and rules and restrictions and regulations. And in comes Philip, this boisterous, you know, no-nonsense character who just did things his way. And the amount of one-liners and funny incidents, they'll all no doubt get a very good airing in the coming days and weeks.
Well, Sky News correspondent Aindhe Brady, thank you very much for joining us from Dorset today. I want to bring in Simon Palmer to Lunchtime Live here on News Talk, a former butler of Prince Philip. Simon, how are you?
Hi, Claire. I'm good. You?
I'm very good. And our condolences to you, somebody that would have worked quite closely with Prince Philip. You must be feeling his loss a little today.
Well, I mean, it was a long time ago. It was one of the quirks of my upbringing. As a teenager, I grew up in Cumbria and I was an assistant butler at a place called Holker Hall for Lord and Lady Cavendish. And Prince Philip used to come up there a lot doing carriage racing in the ground. So he'd be up there about two or three times a year, often because he's Greek by background. He'd be with some of King Constantine and his family.
So what would your role be then, Simon?
Well, quite a unique insight into royal life, because you used to get to wait on them in a private residential setting. So for meal times or any other times when they needed some assistance. So there was times when after his carriage racing, he would just be sat outside in the garden room and you'd be serving him afternoon tea. And he'd always end up bending your ear, asking you about your life as a teenager growing up in Cumbria. He'd be always asking me about my girlfriend. Seemed to recognise me every time he was there. And yeah, and as Enda was saying, he was quite a character. He wasn't one for protocol. And when I used to be waiting on some of the meals there, the rest of the royals were up there quite often too. They always seemed much more reserved, but he was always the chatty one who was a bit of a character.
Because he is painted as this sort of funny, irreverent sort of person. And certainly your experience matches that.
Yeah, he just seems a bit of a comedian. You know, he'd be always the one that would be leading the conversations and the laughs. So it'd be serious conversation and he'd turn it into something funny. And obviously, he is always quite famous for his one lines and obviously at times putting his foot in it by being very un-PC.
And did you see much of them together as a couple?
No, they were always there separately. It was always kind of really one of his jollies when he'd be up there with his friends doing carriage racing. And then when the Queen was there, she was always there separately, unfortunately.
Well, I think it's really nice to hear. You know, you often think from the outside looking in to anyone moving in that kind of circle where there would be a staff on hand to help them, that there would be not much appreciation for the staff. But you felt a real connection and there'd be a warmth and interest and gratitude for the work you were doing.
Yeah, they always seem to make much more of an effort to be thankful and to be polite because of their position than maybe other people moving in those circles did. And he always seemed to genuinely recognise you and be genuinely interested in what you were talking about in terms of your family, where you lived, where you went to school, things like that.
Good to hear. Simon, stay on the line. I want to bring in Dennis. Dennis, you're welcome to Lunchtime Live on News Talk. Why did you get in touch with us in relation to Prince Philip?
Claire, lovely speaking to you. I'll fill in the backstory, if I may.
Please.
In April 1997, our school, Connaught Smith Naven in Bishopstown, won the All-Ireland Schools Debating Competition. And as a result, we were invited to participate in the Observer Mays, the UK-Ireland Observer Mays Schools Debating Competition in London in May 1997. So we duly did. We went over to London and to our great surprise, we won the competition. We were the first Irish team to win the competition and there was some difficulty about getting the trophy back to Ireland because it wasn't insured for travel outside the UK. Anyway, we did get the trophy after a few weeks, and it was kept in the vault of the local bank, AIB, in Bishopstown.
Why? What was it made of, Des?
Silver, a very big, elaborately carved, wrought, chased, whatever, mace.
God, I was a big lover of debating impressive. In school. Now I love The Crown. You're merging two of my massive loves together. I'm listening with bated breath.
Oh, that's good.
So after this major win, you were invited to the palace, is that right?
Yes. Prince Philip was the president or patron of the English Speaking Union. They were the group who ran the competition. So we were invited to a reception in the palace in November 1997. So we duly arrived at the palace. We were led across the inner courtyard, down a corridor into a very sumptuous reception room. And after a little while, Prince Philip entered the room and we chatted to him. And he was most charming, courteous, pleasant. And true to form, he cracked a wry little joke expressing surprise at the standard of English spoken in the colonies. Now, it wasn't intended to be offensive or patronising in any way, but it was apropos because the motion for the debating final had to do with Britain and her colonies. But no, he was most charming. He had difficulty pronouncing the name of the school, Colossians for Native Bishopstown. I should say that I was there with my co-mentor, Michael Foley, and the two speakers, Rami O'Kasha and Donacha O'Connell. But he had difficulty with Irish names in general, I think. But we inducted him into the mysteries of pronouncing Colossians for Native correctly, which he made a good attempt at. But he was quite funny, very welcoming and very natural. And I think that comes through in so many reports of him, you know. Somebody was saying earlier, he was not a man for fuss. And he certainly downplayed that side of things very, very considerably.
Yeah, but it's interesting what you're saying. You know, he didn't want to show offence. He was still quite respectful and kind and doing his best with the Irish language. But he wasn't afraid to poke a bit of fun at a topic.
No.
He wasn't coming in all conscious of saying the right thing and doing the right thing. He was quite at ease with himself and put you at ease, I'm sure.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. He put us at our ease, even though none of us afterwards could recall exactly what he said with regard to English as she has spoken in the colonies, so to speak. But he was perfect and warm and welcoming and so on, you know. Putting us at our ease, not in any patronising way, certainly.
Brilliant. Great for you to have that memory, Des. Yeah. And where is the trophy now? Or did you have to give it back to the winners the next year?
We had to give it back after a year. It was subsequently won by another Irish school, I think about 4 or 5 years later, but I don't think any other Irish school has won it since.
Good. Well, good for you. That's brilliant. And what a great story. You've been to Buckingham Palace. Dennis, it's a very good story. Thank you so much for coming on. I also want to bring in English market trader and fishmonger Pat O'Connell. Pat, you're very welcome to Lunchtime Live here on News Talk.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You're going to see Dennis's story and raise it. You met Prince Philip on two occasions.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting the man twice. Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful man.
And was it when they were over in Ireland?
Yeah, that visit in 2011 when they visited the English market, and we had so much fun, really. We had just some crack that day. And then we were invited back to the palace in 2014, I think.
So tell us about them coming to the English market. Were you standing at your fish counter and they arrived over to you?
Yeah, there was five of us picked out to meet them when they visited our stalls, and I was one of those. And so when they came over, went outside the counter, and I suppose we all have perceptions of these people before we meet them, and sometimes the reality and the perception are quite different. And I suppose I'd have always thought the horse they set and that end of it, and to actually meet them, they couldn't have been more down to earth. They couldn't have had a better sense of humour, and couldn't have had an appreciation of the food I was on offer in the English market. And we just kind of hit it off like a hand in a glove, really. We had an absolute fabulous crack that day, and spent the whole few minutes we were together laughing and speaking about fish. And I suppose I was struck by about the wonderful couple that they were. Very ordinary, and you know, it's the first time as Bill, and it was just kind of really, whoa, these are just a perfect mix, really.
Yeah, because, you know, she's the queen, you know, and he's her husband. But you were kind of seeing them just as a couple, just as normal people in a setup of a market.
Normal people enjoying their chat and the fun and the jokes. And, you know, we were showing her the monkfish, which we call the mother-in-law fish in the English market. And kind of saying at the time, should I say mother-in-law fish or should I say monkfish? And sure, we said, what the hell? And we went for mother-in-law fish, and she just thought it was so funny and you know, in a nice way. And we just hit it off and had a fantastic day. And I think the English market really shone on that day. And it was a huge welcome to the city and the crowds outside on the streets. You know, I mean, they're obviously held in huge esteem by so many people in the world.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not every day you get the Queen strolling through the market. So that day, presumably, Pat, you were in the wellies and the white coat and the hat and all that. Did you dress up a bit differently when you went over?
I dressed up a little bit differently. Alice, yeah. But funny, we had, there was a private audience for about six or seven of us beforehand. So we were up in this really plush room chatting away, and the Queen and Prince Philip walked in, and the first thing she said was, oh, my fishmonger has come over. And I thought, oh, God.
Better be on my best behaviour. So were
Better
you
be
invited?
On my best behaviour, but it was just, it was an incredible moment. I mean, you don't expect a fishmonger from Cork to be in the Buckingham Palace, you know, and to be picked up by the Queen as the first face she recognises. I thought it was, oh, God. So, yeah, look, there's fantastic memories of wonderful visits, really, and wonderful people, and very down-to-earth people, and just really sad day, I think, yeah.
And that invitation had come based on them meeting you at the English market and having the bit of crack. Is that how the invitation to the palace came about?
I have no idea, really. I assume so, but I mean, I was the only one invited over, so I thought, yeah, Jesus, yeah.
Wow.
It was a really nice one, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we did have really good fun on the day, and we had a great sense of humour. And I remember, Julian King was the British ambassador to Ireland at the time, and he came down 6 or 7 weeks later after the visit, and he was over in the market with Tim Lucy, our city manager at the time. And he came up to the counter and he said, you know, God, lad, you really rocked. For the visit of the Queen, and she just so loved the market and the atmosphere. And
yeah,
I said, yes, Ambassador, but sure, we only did what we always do. And he said, yeah, Pat, but that was actually the magic, because not everybody does what they normally do when they meet the Queen of England. And he said she just so loved being treated as a normal person with a normal sense of humour and a normal bit of fun. And I think that was actually the magic on the day, was that, you know.
Great, Pat. Well, I think we'll all call monkfish the mother-in-law fish now, although I hope my mother-in-law isn't listening. Pat O'Connell, English market trader and fishmonger, and friend, it seems, of the Queen and Prince Philip. Thank you very much for coming on.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.